Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right, welcome everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And you're listening on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And, you know, this week we're going to be talking a few things that that may surprise you. We're going to talk about not only the Holy Trinity, because that's what this Sunday's going to celebrate, the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, but we're actually going to name names. And what does that mean? Well, we're going to name names about who is the Trinity. So those are three names we're going to talk about, three people. We're going to talk about the importance of names, God's names, but also the names of the religions he started or that's out there. So what makes a Christian a Christian? What is the be-all, end-all that makes a person say that they are Christian or not a Christian? I don't know about you, but like growing up, I hear about all these different religions. You know, like some people, you know, come at the door and they may be Jehovah's Witness, they may be Mormons. They may be other kinds of different groups of believers, and they would appear to be Christians, but are they or are they not? And what makes a Christian a Christian? Is it just a person who follows Christ? If I'm not mistaken, I think even Gandhi said he's a follower of Christ, but we all know he wasn't a Christian. So are Buddhist Christians, you know, are Hindus Christians? I mean, that might seem like a dumb question. It's like asking, is the Pope Catholic? Well, you know, some people have an opinion on that, you know, depending on what this Pope or the last Pope or other Popes were doing in the past. Well, this Pope, you know, fathered children. This Pope, you know, was living a life of sin. This, you know, had the concubines and stuff on the side. Well, that's mortal sin. You know, that's different from, you know, if they are really the Pope or not. I mean, we can talk about things from St. Peter, right? He was the first Pope. Jesus put him in charge and only gave him the keys to the kingdom, right? And yet he, sinned so greatly that he denied Christ three times. God forgave him, Jesus forgave him, but he still was Pope. So these are some of the questions that I want to bring up. But also on the topic of three people, three names, you know, one of the readings coming up to is actually one of the Psalms. It's from Daniel that we're also going to talk about, and it's going to talk about the Song of the Three Young Men. I don't know if you're familiar with that, okay? Especially it's called Azariah's Prayer. And we're going to talk about those three men in keeping with the theme of Trinity or three, you know, three in one or three people. But also we'll talk about three of Jesus's names. We'll also talk about the three archangels, their names, and the meaning of their names, because the name is so important. Why? Because supposedly, you know, when the angels got their names, or when you hear biblical names, those names actually are a hint to what they do or what their role is or even their nature. What does that mean, their nature? So you might think about names such as Smith or Goldsmith, Silversmith, Taylor, Hunter. You know, these names actually had real meaning, right? They were a smith of this thing. They were, you know, a hunter or a carpenter, a butcher, and so forth, which gave an indication of what they did, right? Versus we may know some of these Irish names are like, you know, McDonald's, McHenry, you know, and so forth, the Mick standing for son of. Well, this is what I'm trying to get at, that names indicate something about the person, their family, their function, or even their nature. And this is so important that when we actually pray the Our Father, right, we actually say, hallowed be thy name. It's so important that we talk about names, and this is what's going to be in the reading today. And so if you stick with me, you'll hear about the hidden meanings of various names in Scripture, such as those three young men. Some of them you'll know. You've heard of their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three young men who were put in the fiery furnace, but that was not their original names. So I'm going to tell you the meaning of those Hebrew names and then the meaning of the Babylonian names and why is that so important? And we'll get into that and more. So before we get further, let's pray the Our Father prayer together. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me give out the number to call in if you would like to just say hello. What are you thinking about, you know, the show, or if you had any questions or comments, or just tell us, what's on your mind. So the number here to call into the studio at WTMR is 856-962-8178. There you go. 856-962-8178. Please just let us know, you know, if you've been listening or where you're calling from, or if you had a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you. And anyway, so let's go with the topic today regarding the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Oh, I forgot to mention, you know, when this Holy Trinity Sunday it's really at the end of the month, right? It's going to be May 31st. And isn't this amazing how May is just went by that fast? Well, on this coming Saturday and Sunday is also something that we're going to see in the sky, something very special. It's going to be what we call a blue moon, right? And some people may know what that means. It definitely doesn't mean that when you see the moon, it's going to be a blue hue, okay? It's really going to be the same color, white. And the only time it really turns blue, according to, the different weather people, they'll say it's because, let's say there was a volcano eruption and some of the gases from there would turn the color as you're looking towards the moon, the bluish color, right? It's something in the atmosphere that would change the color. But the moon that we're going to see this coming Saturday going to Sunday is what you call a micro moon. It's going to be a full moon, a blue moon, but that means it's just two full moons in the same month. The first full moon was on May 1st, and so the second full moon, which makes it a blue moon, is going to be this Saturday, Saturday when the sun sets in the west, the moon will rise from the east. So look towards the east and you'll see it. And it actually is going to be a micro moon, the smallest moon relative to the regular moon or sometimes the super moon. So, and you're not going to see this micro moon until 26 years later. In other words, if you're around, hopefully I am, but it'll be 2053 when you'll see the micro moon. And the last time the micro moon happened was back in 2000. And the micro moon means it's just going to be the smallest moon where the moon is going to be the furthest distance from the Earth. I think it's called perigee. Now, someone can correct me if I got that wrong. Versus if you see the moon extra large, like it'll be called supermoon, that means it's closest to the Earth, and that's the apogee. And so, because when it goes around the Earth, it doesn't go in a circle. It's more like an elliptical, and it's not exactly in the middle that the Earth is in the middle of the orbit. It's kind of like off-centered. But anyway, just so look at that, you know, observe what God has created, and just to see, you know, this special moon, this micro moon, not that you're giving any kind of worship to it, right? That you know, like that's how we get the name of people called, what you call lunatics, right? They act strange because Luna stands for lunar. But anyway, why am I bringing this up when we're supposed to talk about the Trinity? Well, this, you'll find out, this actually relates to one of the three young men who were put in the fiery furnace, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because one of their names, they were actually given a Babylonian name, which was named after the moon god. And so even though they didn't believe in these false gods, they had to serve for the royal court, and the way that they were called was by their slave name. It comes to mind. I don't know if you guys ever saw that classic series on TV with Alex Haley, you know, with Roots. You know, when I remember watching that as a kid, seeing how Kunta Kinte, you know, how he was, you know, taken from Africa, right, and came to America and was forced to take on a name. And it was gruesome to watch it. I don't know if you guys saw that or you remember that. I thought they made an updated version. I don't know if that was in the 1990s. I'm already dating myself, but, you know, or later on. But just that he was getting whipped, you know, this LeVar Burton, who played Kunta Kinte. And then when he was a slave, he was forced to take on the name Toby, you know, and he was getting whipped, and the guy who was whipped, it was doing this in public, and he was trying to tell him, you know, what's your name? LeVar Burton, who played Kunta Kinte, just kept on saying, you know, Kunta Kinte. And he was just stubbornly stiff-necked about keeping his name. And why, and that's true, why would he say his name, change his name, right? But then at the end, after the brutal beating, you know, he finally relented and said, Toby. And everybody was just holding the breath, on the TV show. But I mean, as a kid watching this, I just remember myself just, you know, cheering up and just seeing the pain of him, just like, why can't you just let him have his name? Just call him by his regular name. What's wrong with that? You know? And so it's kind of like this with the slaves, with these men, these Jewish men who were taken
from Jerusalem and enslaved and brought to Babylonia, right, under King Nebuchadnezzar. So not, I don't think they were whipped or anything, but they were taken as hostages, the best of the best, to serve the royal court. And so this is something we'll just get into, those names, because I just never knew that those famous names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, and singing that song that you might have learned, you know, in grade school or Sunday school or catechism, wherever you might have heard that song. I don't remember the song, but I just remember those names that actually, those were actually named after false gods. And so it really just struck me like, wow, they were forced in having false gods' names. And, you know, us as Catholics and Christians, that it's highly encouraged to have a name that is after a saint, right? A saint's name. Because then you also have their protection and their patronage, because they're the heroes that made it to heaven, and that we can call and ask their help. When I say call, I'm not saying like pick up your cell phone and then call them in heaven. I mean, if you think about it, when we make the sign of the cross as Christians, remember they did this as a sign. They signed themselves in the Trinitarian formula, in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's how people are baptized, right? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the formula that Jesus gave his priests, who he ordained, right? The apostles. He ordained them at the Last Supper, you know, Holy Thursday. And also before he left, he commissioned them. In other words, before he ascended into heaven on Holy Thursday. Remember, we just celebrated Holy Thursday 2.5 weeks ago, right? And then 9 days after Ascension, Thursday was Pentecost, which was just this past Sunday, which was the birthday of the church. If you heard my program last week, or if you go onto the website In His Sign, you'll be able to go in the podcast there and listen to that archive, if you want, about me talking about Pentecost and the birthday of the church. Well, here, we're following up with that. After the birthday of the church of Pentecost, right, that's the Holy Spirit, where, 3,000 were converted, or was it 5,000, you know, on that day? And then here is the following Sunday is this Sunday devoted to the Holy Trinity. And that is, what that means is the, you know, God the Father, who is the first person, God the Son is the second person, God the Holy Spirit is the third person. So there are three persons, they're separate persons, but there's only one God. So it's a mystery. It's super hard to understand that mystery. But we wouldn't have even known this mystery unless God himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took flesh through the being incarnated, taking flesh in the Blessed Mother's womb, right? And took on human nature along with his divine nature, and became a baby, right? And he was born, and you know, he was a little fetus, developed the 9 months, right? He was conceived, right, by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Blessed Mother's womb, who is virginal, on March 25th is what we hold in the church. And then he was born on 9 months later on Christmas, December 25th. Now, when I say this, I'm not. Hopefully, you don't think I'm talking down to you. I'm assuming you all know this, but what I'm doing is just, I'm just leading in, just helping you put things together, which you already know. I'm assuming, but what I'm trying to say here is that so Jesus, you know, was already in the womb for those 9 months, and then born, right? Which was prophesied. He was born. And that would we have as Christmas, and he was named Jesus, right? So he was even told by the archangel Gabriel, that they would told the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph that his name, God's Son, would be named Jesus. And so what that means is the Lord is salvation, or God saves, right? And the other name of Jesus, in the prophecies, that he will be called Emmanuel. Well, that doesn't mean that was his middle name, like Jesus, Emmanuel, the Christ. Now, Jesus' last name is not Christ. That was his title, right? We call him Jesus of Nazareth, from where he's from, right? And some people, in the history of getting surnames, the last name, some people would be named from the town that they're from, right, or some characteristic of them. I mean, look at some of the Indians. You remember some of the, like, Sitting Bull, they'd be calling there, right? Or that, remember that show with Kevin Costner back, was in the 90s? Dancing with Wolves, right? I guess his wife there was like, I forget her Indian name, but what it meant was like stands with a fist, they were named after what characterized them, right? And they named Kevin Costner Dancing with Wolves, if I'm not mistaken, hence the title of the show. So here, Jesus, even though it was prophesied that he would be called Emmanuel, what that means is what he was doing, right? That he was with us. God is with us is what it means, or God with us. So that would be the other name of what he was given. The other thing is, he's called the Christ or the Messiah. So what was that? That means the anointed one. So Messiah or Mashiach is the anointed one. And for the Greek way of saying that would be Christos or the Christ. And so, David, the king of Israel, he was also their Messiah, but he was a human, right? He was king, but he was not divine. And that was the difference with Jesus. So he was the Messiah, but also that he was, he was a priest and king. So that's why Jesus is known as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is known as, the Prince of Peace, our Savior, the Mighty One, the Son of David. All through Scripture, he's called these various titles and names. There's way more than what I just mentioned. But of course, that we call him Jesus Christ. Jesus is King, right? Or Christ is King. So these are the different names that I just brought up just to let you know about how God has various names. And one thing that I wanted to go on now is the first reading that we have here for the Most Holy Trinity. It comes from Exodus, and it's Exodus chapter 34, and it's about Moses going up early to up the mountain of Mount Sinai. And for me to set the backdrop, let me just help remind you of this, because when you go and read this part of Scripture, Exodus 34, go to Mass is coming. You're going to be at a big advantage if by listening about this quick summary. So when you go there, you'll get even more out of it, and God can give you some extra blessings for preparing your heart, your mind, and your soul to receive our Lord's Word and His flesh and blood, body and blood, soul and divinity. So anyway, so Moses, in this reading of Exodus 34, that he goes up to Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him taking along two tablets, two stone tablets. But this is not the first time he's going up there. This is actually the second time, all right? Because what happened on the Moses' first trip up the mountain, it turned out to be a debacle. Yes, he received the Ten Commandments that first time. He was up there 40 days and 40 nights. But what happened was the debacle was the golden calf incident. You guys remember that? The golden calf incident where Moses was interrupted in receiving the various instructions about the tabernacle, and he heard all this noise down there. I think Joshua thought it sounded like war, according to Joshua, but Moses said, no, that sounds like revelry. I mean, what comes to my mind is that movie, right, the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. You guys remember that great movie? So Moses goes down and hears the sound of revelry, right? And he goes down there because they were going wild. And what do you mean wild? Crazy wild. In other words, they were having a pagan ritual orgy, and they were worshiping a false god, and a false god, an Egyptian false god called Apis, A-P-I-S, or Apis. I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's A-P-I-S. It was a bull god. Okay, and so as we know in that story, you know, Aaron takes gold from the people, the men and women, whether it was their earrings or rings, and he throws it in the fire. And when he got in trouble for doing that, the way he explains it is that he got this gold, he put it in the fire, and out came out a calf, as if like it was like an automatic, manufacturing by the fire of this golden calf, whereas we all know that he's the one that was the main contributor of fashioning the golden calf and also making an altar. And so, you know, Moses, and when Moses saw all this, what did he do with those original tablets of the Ten Commandments? Well, he took those Ten Commandments and he smashed it on the people at the base of the mountain. And then he, if I remember right, he pulverized it into particles, and he had the people that he mixed it with water, and he had the people drink it. I don't get that, but that's what happened. I mean, you could check it out yourself. Again, Exodus 34. So this is where, you know, after he sees this, them worshiping a false god, because it's like, it's mind-blowing, because remember, the reason why the Hebrews were asking Pharaoh to be released, or Moses asked Pharaoh to have the Hebrews released, was so they can worship their god in the desert. And so it took 10 plagues.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, everybody, this is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And I apologize there for the technical difficulties. Well, we're back here. And again, you're listening on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we've been talking about Moses going up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments the second time. And why are we talking about this? Because we're relating this to this coming Sunday's readings at Mass, where we're going to celebrate the Most Holy Trinity. And we're going to talk about the importance of names and the meaning of names. And we're going to get into the names of God. We talked about Jesus's names, but the name of God the Father, or God himself, the names of the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how those names were slave names that were dedicated to false gods. But I'll tell you what their original Hebrew names and what it means. And then I'll also talk about the names of the three angels, our archangels as well, and to help you reflect on finding out what your name means, and also the name of your surname, your last name, and what it could possibly mean in your life, to find that out and to know your role, your mission in life. And for that matter, what might be your confirmation name if you are a Catholic who is also confirmed. So let me continue on reading this first reading for this coming Sunday on Exodus. And it says that early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. And I said this is the second time Moses was coming up, because the first time I was explaining before the break that, Moses had thrown down that two stone tablets after seeing that the people, after 40 days and 40 nights, they were wondering that, you know, maybe Moses died. So they started getting restless, and they actually had a pagan ritual orgy worship. So they were having, an orgy, sexual orgy, but also worshiping this golden calf. And they were worshiping this Egyptian bull god called Apis, A-P-I-S. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. So they also were carrying at least one other pagan false god along with them, called the Star of Remphan. And you can look up that and that, what that meaning is, Remphan, R-E-M-P-H-A-N. It's actually talked about in, I think it's Acts chapter 7, the Star of Remphan. You can just Google that, and you'll see that was one of the false gods that they also brought along, even though the Lord God himself had freed them from slavery and led them through the desert and protected them, and yet they still were unfaithful to him and bringing hidden, a false god along. I mean, you think about it. It's kind of like, like in the other program there, right, where you might have been listening to Tara and Marta, and the last thing that I heard them talking about is like, keeping faithful to one spouse. Well, it's kind of like being married and on the side having some girlfriend on the side, or another person, another wife, a concubine, or someone that you see. I mean, that's despicable to do such a thing. Well, this would be same thing, despicable to have God as, you know, as our God, and to bring along a false God along with you. And then when Moses is not around, or you think he's dead, to celebrate, I don't know if that's the right term, to just have a party. You know, it's like one thing to say that, why didn't he come down? It's been 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, no, let's go, you know, did they grieve for him if they thought he died? Well, somebody came up with the idea, hey, let's worship a false god, this bull god, or, you know, this star of Remphan, which actually is the god of Saturn, is what that they would also worship. And then, you know, get into sexual orgies as well. I mean, what's going on here? So when Moses saw all this, this is where he took the first 10 commandments, these first 10, those first 10, and threw it. And I just said before the break, when he threw that down, it broke into pieces. He pulverized that up, and then he had the people, you know, drink that. And so now he goes back up because, you know, he wants to get, replacement, not a guest, but I mean, he needed to get a replacement. And so when he goes back up, this is the reading that we are going to continue now. It says, he took along the 10, the two stone tablets, and which was not written on yet. It was like blank, okay? So having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses. And so now this is very important because, you know, there's that belief where if you see God face to face, you will die, right? And Moses was hiding in the cleft of the mountain. And so what God did was he passed by Moses. And so Moses got to see God's back, okay? And so it says here, having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses. He stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name. This is why I'm talking about in this episode about the importance of the name and God's name, you know, the three archangels' name, the three young men in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were, their names, but also the Trinity, their names. So here he proclaimed his name. And you know, the Jews have this tradition of not abbreviating God's name. They put the letters YHWH, and they don't put consonants there. They don't want to even say it to show respect to God. And supposedly that means, you know, God said, I am, versus what Yahweh, the name YHWH would be said as Yahweh, which supposedly means he is, because they didn't want to say the name I am, the word I am, because that is so holy. So when God said his name, remember when Moses, first of all, saw God as in the burning bush, and then later on was told to go tell Pharaoh you know, to release the Hebrews, but he wanted to know what was God's name. That's when he first revealed his name to Moses, right? You know, that I am is what he said. So here he proclaims it again, and he says it's in the reading, it says Lord, but that really, the way that's signified, some places they signify it by capitalizing the letters, capital L-O-R-D, all four letters capitalized, to signify that it was really W-H-Y-H, or Yahweh. And anyway, the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful, gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. Now, why did God say this? It's very super important. It's because God is saying his name twice, which means that it's true, because the Jews have this rule that if you say it twice, that it's That means it must be true. Otherwise, you know, you would be accountable for a death penalty. So God says here, now, I don't know if this law was already enforced there at this time, but here God said, the Lord, this is just me, okay? Now, any theologian out there can correct me if I was wrong here, but I think what he was trying to say was, you know, YHWH, which means he was saying, I am, okay? So he was saying, I am a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. But when you go and read the scripture, it's going to say, the Lord. So I don't know if I'm confusing you, but in the scriptures, they don't write the word I am. It's going to say Lord, the Lord. Well, what I'm trying to get across is it would either say Yahweh, okay, a God merciful and gracious, and then continues on. And so God is revealing his name and he's revealing his character. His character, in other words, his name, that's who he is, but he's also revealing his character, that he is actually mercy. He's merciful. He's grace, therefore he's gracious. He's slow to anger, meaning he's very patient, right? And also it says he's rich in kindness, so he's kind. He's also faithful, which also means he's fidelity. So this is where people have this mistake, that God of the Old Testament seems to be different from the God of the New Testament, and yet God is the same God, right? And that's what makes God God. He's always the same, past, present, and future. He never changes. Why? Because when you're perfect, you never have to change. You'll only change if you are imperfect and you want to get better, right? Or be the best. Well, God is the best of the best. He's perfect, and so therefore he never changes. And so there's this false understanding or false impression that God of the Old Testament, written in the Old Testament, seems to be like someone to be scared of, that that he will punish you and destroy you if you don't do this or do that. Whereas Jesus, who's the Son of God, when he comes, he's so kind and compassionate and forgiving, and he's not going to judge us, you know. But yet he's the same God. This is why this weekend dedicated to the Most Holy Trinity is important, that he is one God, not three gods. He's one God, not three gods. He's one God, but three persons. God the Father, the first person. God the Son, the second person. God the Holy Spirit, the third person. And so he tells us who he is, and he's the same one. He's loving. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's patient, meaning he's slow to anger. Doesn't mean he never gets angry. Of course, a good father can justly be angry, right? So as they say, only a father can discipline his own children. Like, it would be wrong for us, you know, let's say myself, if I'm in a restaurant and I'm seeing some unruly kid at another table messing around and not obeying his parents, I can't correct that kid over his own parents who's right there. Or if, let's say I'm in church and I see some kids unruly there in the pews, I can't be telling, you know, that mom or that dad, hey, you know, you should do this and that to your kid. Well, I'm not their parent, right? But the good father, the parent, the good parents, they're the ones who have the absolute right of disciplining and correcting their children. Well, God actually has that absolute right to correct us if he needs to, right? And so anyway, when God passes by, you know, and Moses sees him, sees his back, Moses at once, you know, his life is spared. He sees God's back. He understands that God's declaring his name again, and he says it twice, and he says his character, that he's merciful, gracious, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and he's faithful. He has fidelity. He bows down. Moses bows down to the ground, doing what? Worshiping. And then he says, of all things, if I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own. So here is Moses being an intercessor for the people. He's stepping between the people and imploring forgiveness because of their pagan orgy worship, you know, that they were giving on there, worshiping a bull god, you know. So one way to look at what happened then is a good father, I mean, he then prohibits the Jews from having certain kinds of food and meat, right? And then later on, you know, when Jesus comes or through the Acts of the Apostles, you know, that they're released from these rules of, you know, clean and unclean foods. But you can see it was not prohibited for Jews to have certain foods before this episode. It was only after this episode that they were now reprimanded from eating certain kinds of food. So I don't know if there's a direct correlation with that, that a good father, a God the Father, is reprimanding their children, you know, because they're worshiping a bull god, a golden calf. Well, no, you can't eat, beef anymore. I don't know. It just seems like, why was it all of a sudden now prohibited? Whereas before it wasn't. It was prohibited after this event. Anyway, what I wanted to go and talk about now, since it was about the Trinity, is that, you know, growing up, like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, whether Jehovah's Witness came to our door or Mormons came to our door, you know, I always thought they would be considered Christian. But, you know, growing up, then I later on found out that they're not Christian. So it made me wonder, what makes a Christian a Christian? Well, it's the Trinity, the belief in the mystery that God told us through Jesus Christ and his scriptures, the Holy Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God is three persons. And Jehovah Witnesses, they do not believe in the Trinity. They believe in one God, but they're Unitarian. They believe that they call God Jehovah, and that's actually not the way that the YHWH is translated, but they call God Jehovah, and they think Jesus was created, okay? And they actually think Jesus was Michael the archangel. That's why I want to talk about the names of the three archangels. They think Jesus was the Michael the archangel, and that the Holy Spirit is just an active force, that the Holy Spirit is not a person. Whereas we understand from Jesus himself that the Holy person, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's symbolized as a dove or as tongues of fire or as wind, but he doesn't have a physical body like Jesus. Like God the Father doesn't have a physical body like Jesus. They're pure spirits, right? God is a pure spirit, but only Jesus took on flesh. So the Jehovah's Witnesses is not they're not Christians in the true sense of the word that we were taught by Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was he said that he and the Father are one. So he's not definitely not Michael the Archangel, right? Again, and as far as Mormons, they believe that that they are not Christians. First of all, they don't use our Bible. They have their own, they call it another testament. They believe the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are three separate gods, okay, three separate divine beings, and that God the Father has a physical body, okay? And so this is not the same of what we Catholic Christians believe. So they're not as good as they are. I'm not trying to pick on them or put them down. I'm just trying to help you understand if you don't already know, because they're like me. I didn't know these simple facts about them, that they are not Christians in the true meaning of a Christian. And also is the same thing if we add, a Christian scientist, those who believe in Scientology. I think some of the famous celebrities like, is it John Travolta and, you know, Tom Cruise and others, I think they believe in this. And again, they only believe in one God, but he's like a principle of life or a mind. And they think that Jesus is just a human, like the highest human, and that the Holy Spirit is like a divine science. So again, this is not the same thing that we believe in, as good as the various people you might have met and how they treat people, but their belief is definitely not the beliefs that we have as Christians. All right, so going on here to the responsorial psalm for the Mass, it's about Daniel chapter 3. Now, for the Catholics, you know, this part of the Bible is officially part of the Bible that we have in our canon or list. And so it talks about these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it was in chapter 3. But also in that same book, Daniel, chapter 13 and chapter 14, it talks about Bel and the dragon and talks about Susanna. And those aren't in Protestant Bibles, unfortunately. But it was part of the Septuagint. So that was the Greek Bible, the Old Testament Bible, that was used by the Jews who were dispersed throughout the Holy Land, Egypt, and the Middle East, and so forth. So those who weren't in Jerusalem, this was the Greek Bible that they used. So in other words, Jesus used this Bible. The Holy Family used the Septuagint. And this is why the Catholics follow what Jesus and the apostles would use. They would use that scripture. So when Paul talks about the scripture, they're talking about the Greek version. And so this Greek version included this prayer that I'm mentioning here about the prayer of Azariah. And his name was given Abednego. And so let me tell you what the names of this means, because it was shocking to me that, you know, because I actually like those names because it was in, you know, it just rolls off the tongue for my tongue for some reason. I don't know if it's because of that song or just going or hearing that those names just sounds so very, you know, unique, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But anyway, so what the meaning of these names are, Abednego, actually what that means is servant of Nebo or Nego, which is the god of fire or the god of wisdom. And so when Azariah was his real name and he was, forced to use the name Abednego because he was now a servant. And so now he is a servant of the false god, Nego. So, and that's what he had to use. So I gave that analogy about that show, that miniseries of Roots, Alex Haley talking about his roots, how Kunta Kinte was forced to take on the name Toby. Well, here Azariah, not that I know that he was whipped or anything, but he had to take the name Abednego, which means he's now a servant of the false god, Nego. Now, the other guy, Shadrach, his original name was Hananiah. Shadrach, his name is named after the Babylonian moon god. And the Babylonian moon god was Aku. Now, I didn't say Achu, like, you know, sneezing. I mean, that's my kids would start mocking me and start saying I'm just giving a dad joke or whatever. But so anyways, Aku, A-K-U or Aku, you know. So in other words, Shadrach was named after the moon god, which means command of Aku or under the command of Aku. And so he was named after a false god. And so I had just talked about, you know, the micro moon happening this Saturday night through Sunday morning, you know, that you'll see that. And anyway, Shadrach's original name, his Hebrew name, was Hananiah. Hananiah is what that means. It's beautiful. It means, you know, God is gracious. And didn't we just hear what God described his own self when he walked in front of Moses? I forgot to tell you what Azariah meant. Remember, Azariah is the real name of Abednego. Azariah, his name actually means God has helped, or the Lord is my help. So that's beautiful. Azariah means the Lord is my help. And then the last person for the three persons here, that the three young men, is Mishael. And it kind of sounds like Mikael, right? Which, you know, the archangel Michael or Mikael means who is like God. Well, here Mishael, they changed his name to Meshach. Meshach means like who is like Aku, you know, that moon god. Again, so he's named after that moon god. And so, you know, whereas his original name, Mishael, was like the name Michael, where it says who is like God. So I just thought you might want to know that here and just, you know, understand that your name is very important. Just like God's name is important, Jesus' name is important. These three young men, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, their names were named after God and serving God. And also, you know, the three archangels, their name. So, you know, Michael means, that means like who is like God. Gabriel means God is my strength. And, or it could be like Gabriel. And I'm not the feminine version. I'm just accenting the word El, which means God. And then Raphael, which means God heals. So those are the three archangels. And again, I'm mentioning all of it because, you know, the Trinity means three persons. And so here are the three persons of the three archangels, although it says in Scripture there are seven. And then the three young men who we are talked about who said this prayer in the Psalms. So when you go to Mass today, this Psalms is about these guys that were being burned in the fire, but they didn't die from any burns or for any fire. Actually, it was the fire of God, of his divine love. Just like Moses didn't get burned from the burning bush, or the bush didn't get burned either. That's what God's fire of love does, whereas material fire kills and destroys, you know, whereas the fire of God's love doesn't harm but protects. And so call upon the Lord. You know, I'm running out of time here now. So I just hope you enjoyed, you know, this segment or this this topic of the Holy Trinity, the Most Holy Trinity, and the three names of God, the three names of the angel, archangels, and three names of the young men who were put in the fiery furnace. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off here from WTMR 800 AM on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And may you be signed with the cross of Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. So God bless you, and you have a great weekend. And try to check out that micro moon, and hopefully you'd have a great day and weekend. This is Dr. Anton signing off now. God bless.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.